everything that's related to God has to first define or answer the question, who is all this to? Who is it written to? As long as you read the scriptures and see yourself, a reflection of what you should do or how you should act or how you should behave, then James says you will be a hearer of the word only and not a doer of it. Because you look into the perfect law of liberty and all you'll see is your own natural face. And the thing that has to be understood is that the human race has been tested. And all the possibility of God's grace has already been poured out, and man failed the test. And because of that, his own right arm has gotten him the victory. And Paul is clear, it's many other places, but it's said specifically in Galatians by Paul, that the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. And so everything that's in the Bible is pointed towards and talking about the promises of God to the seed of Christ. And everything with regard to the mystery of God, and everything with regard to the doctrine, and everything with regard to knowing whether or not you're being deceived about something is dependent on that. And God clearly said something. And I remember when we first studied this in stealth many years ago. It's Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and to thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now the word for bless there is barak. I will bless them that bless thee. I will, whatever you want to, I don't want to go into the meaning of blessing, but I want to go into the meaning of curse. And he says, I will bless them that bless thee, and he's talking to the seed of Christ. And remember, the entire Old Testament is a picture of how he protects that seed. And now here he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. The first word for curse, I will curse them, is bitterly execrate. There is no greater word for curse or cursing in the Old Testament. It's the most damage that God can do. I will bitterly execrate those that curse thee. That's where it gets interesting, because the second word for curse, I will curse them that curse thee, is a word that's a strange word, but it means to consider lightly or to deem as insignificant. I will bless them that bless thee and bitterly execrate those that consider you lightly. And he's talking to the seed. He's talking to Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will bitterly execrate those that consider you lightly. Now everything else is commentary. Does everybody see this, or do you remember when we studied this? We spent days and days and days on it, showing examples of what that word for curse there meant, and what the word for bless meant, and how people that helped the seed We're blessed, even in the natural. But woe unto them that considered that lightly. Now, how do you consider it lightly? How do you consider? Look, as we get narrower and narrower, and the word gets more and more real, you consider him lightly the moment you consider yourself. And so it's critical that you begin to understand the fear of God. Now, all of these things that we're looking at, the healing and the gifts of the Spirit and all that, and we started on the healing of leprosy. And you can see this picture more clearly in the book, and I mean in the scriptures as applied to leprosy than you can almost anything else. And so we're going to spend a little time on leprosy. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them, bitterly execrate them that consider you lightly. Anybody have any thoughts? Any response?
Yeah, to me it's very interesting that it all comes down to a transaction right up here. And that transaction can be so subtle that you miss it. You know, that's the nature of the beast, is to try and trick you all the time.
And that's why leprosy and the understanding of leprosy is so important.
Yeah.
Actually, it really goes back before this. Go to Genesis 3.
It's like that one blade grass at a time. One blade grass.
This is after the serpent beguiled. Remember Paul's exhortation to us, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. The moment your mind begins to do the dance, then you know you've been deceived. You know that you want to do anything other than wait. You understand that Bojo and I were talking about this last night. Anything that you don't like is a lack. It's a famine. Now, the blessing here for us is that we saw that Abraham was the perfect Christian, if we believe Paul in the New Testament. And we saw that on several occasions he screwed up. He left the land when there was just a slight famine, returned to Egypt. He did all those things. But in the faithfulness of God, God always protected that seed of Christ that was the Spirit of Christ in him. And so we can screw up, we can mess up. But when we do it willfully, after we know the difference, then there remaineth no more sacrifice. So in here, they had just eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They'd given heed to the way of the snake from their mind. They saw something that, you know, what the woman saw, that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. It's always the thing. Something to be desired. Something to be want more. Okay, now in verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, you got to see here, this isn't a cartoon. He's talking to the serpent, which is of the mind, the way of the snake. And all that this thing can do is operate on the basis of its belly. That's why Paul said, many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you again, even weeping, that their God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things, or they mind things of the dust. Now, there's nothing that you can do. There's no activity. There's no idea. There's no invention. There's no Pulitzer Prize. There's no gold medal that doesn't originate from this. Thou shalt eat of the dust all the days of thy life. Do you understand that?
What about the Pulitzer Prize?
I don't care if it's the Pulitzer Prize, a gold medal in the Olympics, the greatest idea you've ever had, Miss America, Mr. Universe, anything that you can conceive of, it is still eating or gaining sustenance from the dust. And so it is the way of the snake. You got that? That must have touched somebody. I know it did. Is it starting to dawn, maybe, that all of the mysteries of God are in those first few verses of Genesis? Oh no, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that little wiggly thing that crawls on the ground. And there was a snake up there, and the snake could talk, and he was more beautiful than anything else. You gotta be kidding. What?
And dust shall thou eat, and I've never really seen dust.
Well, the snake doesn't eat dust. But you do. The human race does. Because it eats of that which came from the dust.
Yeah.
He took the dirt and he formed the dirt and in he breathed into it and he became a living soul, not a spirit. And so the best that it can do from itself is eat or gain sustenance and satisfaction from dust. If you, obvious, this is Genesis. If you understand this, then you're going to stop all the crap that you do in your mind. I don't care if you're studying the Bible. I don't care if you try to understand this. All you're going to do is eat dust. Do you understand, Michael? Do you agree?
I'm back where I was yesterday.
Have to see though that it is dust, so you can't really love it anymore.
No, but until I admit it, I can't not love it. The transaction that I go through, because otherwise I'm fooling myself. Being my religious guy, trying to take me and everybody else out.
For me, it's got to be just little things, golden medal.
But still, it's the same thing. Well, I understand that. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. There is no degree of sin. Because sin is what we are. We are of the way of the snake. Our sustenance is from dust. We will eat dust. This is why the communion and the afkumen is so vital, so important. Because you're testifying, if you have any understanding, otherwise you're just eating a cracker. If you have any understanding at all, you're testifying weekly and hopefully daily. If you really understand it, then you'll begin to know that these things that you're eating are all, it reminds you constantly that the best you can do is eat dust. Another parable, the highest glory of man is the flower of the grass. The glory of most is just plain old-fashioned grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. Now this is why you've got to come to this, back to this central understanding. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. You take the name of the Lord in vain when you put the name of the Lord on anything that is time dependent. But the point of all this is, if you can see it, is number one, you will stop taking the name of the Lord in vain. You will stop ever calling anybody a Christian or putting a label on, you know, all the... It's just goofy. Hear this. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. So any time that you put the name of God, and you put the name of God by saying things like, well, God told me, or God revealed to me, that, or anything. I had to review all of Mike Iaconelli's writings, because the next issue we're returning back to the original Wittenberg door. It's not going to be the Door magazine anymore, and it's kind of an honor. I mean, it's honoring Mike and his work and the whole nine yards. Anyway, I read all of these, and a whole lot of them. They're really good. They're incredible insight. But I had a very difficult time finding ones that weren't time dependent. And that's what struck me about this. I don't think I've ever said that taking the name of the Lord in vain was putting his name on anything that was time dependent before. Maybe I have, but because I admire Mike more than almost anybody else I've ever met, and his understanding and his insights. But when you took all of his writings, I read all the back doors over the last few days, and there was only a handful that weren't time dependent. And he wasn't putting the name of God in anything. That's not the point. But that's what triggered me seeing this with perfect clarity. That any time, that anything that you do puts God's name or references God's name to some activity, then I promise you that activity better be timeless, or you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. This is why it's so critical to understand why the first hundreds of years they didn't call themselves Christians. They were people of the way. That was the closest they could get. And then this poor guy yesterday, Keith. He was very troubled because he heard me say somewhere that I thought that several of the national media figures were believers. I'd met him and talked to him. And he's troubled by that. Yeah, because he's sure they're part of the communist conspiracy or something. The liberal conspiracy to destroy America, or have one world governments or whatever. And I just berated him. How dare you judge whether somebody's a believer or not? How dare you? How dare you even ask yourself the question, is somebody saved or not? How dare you even think about that? Say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart, who shall descend into the abyss? For that is to bring Christ up, as though you could be saved by your own works. bless them, bless you. And bitterly execrate them, considering you lightly. My God, my God, my God. It's not talking about us or flesh. It's talking about that mystery of God that He will move heaven and earth to protect. And if you don't believe it, read the Old Testament. Nations were wiped out. Every man, woman, and child was killed so that there would not be the slightest possibility of mixing the seed. Even if the person that was carrying the mystery, namely Abraham, had lied. He lied to Abimelech. Told him he was their sister, and so Abimelech had the hots for it. And then God appeared in a dream. I know in my own life that since the day I became a believer, probably from before I was born, but everything has been done to protect that mystery of Christ in me. God doesn't give a holy rat's ass about my flesh or my pain or my, except that it moves towards the revelation of that mystery. Everything else is just dust. Everything else is just vanity. It doesn't matter if it's been going on for hundreds or thousands of years. It's thousands of years of dust. Oh, we found this great old, look at this, it's a statue that came, it's a painting, it's a relic of the past dust. Oh, there's great gold medal. Well, that's nice, but it's a dust. Oh, it's a great movie. It's dust.
Not only is dust on fire.
Yeah, it's burning dust. Gold is the closest thing. That's why God. If anybody in their right mind thinks that the heavens are paved with gold, they're crazy. The point of it is the most valuable thing there is in the kingdom of God is as meaningless as dust. I mean, the most valuable thing on earth in the kingdom of God is as meaningless as dust. I better get that one right. I might be quoted. I just read that thing you gave me, by the way. It said that I'm too much of a coward to answer his phone call. I just read. I didn't read it before, huh?
He wondered if you would be too much of a coward.
Oh.
He didn't say you were. He's waiting to find out if
you were. You probably won't print this letter.
I want to just read a couple things what Jesus said. He said, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world." That's, if you're interested, that's Matthew 13, 34, and 35. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Man's work always wearies us. God's work, God's mystery, is ever unfolding. Never, never. I mean, it's sweeter each day. Man creates a thing, and it does one thing. God, when God, that's why we think linearly. So if I say to you, water is a type of the Holy Spirit. Well, then over there it says that the still waters are a type of the human race. But over here it says that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Over there it says wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute. So there must be contradictions. No, it's because of your stupid, asinine minds that can only think in one dimension. God demands that we see through the mystery in every possible arena of our idiotic minds so that our mind is renewed to see wherever we look at all times that it's finished and it is perfect. It really, the last day, the judgment day, began the hour that Christ was crucified and God darkened the sun. There's just been one day since then. And now we wait and we take heed as to the light shining in that dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. The night has come when no man can work. It's not going to come. That's what Christ said just before it got dark. And remember, the night is always the beginning of the day in Hebrew. Now we're going to see a whole bunch of things about leprosy. That's what I planned on studying today. How the hell did all this happen? Anyway, we're going to talk about that there's no leprosy in Egypt. There was no leprosy in the wilderness. There's no leprosy as they're getting in to the before they got to Jerusalem. There's only leprosy in Jerusalem, and it's cured in the temple. So you got to see that what's happening here is you can't have spiritual leprosy while you're in Egypt. You can't have leprosy while you're going through the wilderness. You can't have leprosy when you're going from the border to the wall of Jerusalem. The only time you can get leprosy is in Jerusalem. So when I tell you you have leprosy, be thankful. Because you're nearer than you've ever dreamed. Now, just see the entire top of your head to the bottom of your foot is totally, completely wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And only He is perfection. Only He is life. Then you'll be declared clean. So, I didn't plan to do this, but I'm going to spend the next few days, because we ended up studying the healing of the leper first, that we're going to send some, because there's some amazing stuff in here about leprosy and what it is. Do I have your permission to do that?
Does it matter?
It might. Anybody have any response to any of this? I created a hunger to study? Or are you just satisfied in eating dust? Just going to go chew some more dust. I'm going to go get some Hawaiian dust.
There you go, preaching that negative message.
Think about that. Digging in the dirt. Do you remember? I mean, and again, the same thing is said when it talks about love as Cain, and not as Cain did, but as Abel. And so it goes through the whole thing of Cain and Abel again about what did Cain do? He may try to make something acceptable to God by digging in the dust. So it's over and over and over if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. But if you're only seeing you, then you won't hear any of this. You just go, you know. So that was neat. And then you'll go, forget about it.
But in Jerusalem, you see you as you truly are, totally leprous.
Maybe.
I don't know what he said.
Any thoughts, Mr. Osana? Remember we were studying all the time we spent on studying this? And that? Remember how many people got mad? I remember that. He was one of them. This is when Larry Ferguson got so mad at me he couldn't even talk. Oh. This is when Doug got mad at me, too. All right, take a big guy. So I'm expect everybody to get mad.
No.
Right.